Herzlich willkommen zu einer Talkrunde im Anschluss an eine Sitzung während des Deutschen Chirurgenkongresses 2023 in München. Heute wollen wir über die Versorgungssituation bei penetrierenden Verletzungen sprechen. Da meine Gäste nicht nur aus Deutschland, sondern auch aus den USA sind, machen wir nun in Englisch weiter. I would like to warmly welcome live on site in Munich at the Congress of the German Society of Surgery, the members of the American College of Surgeons International Panel. From the USA Tampa, John Armstrong, Professor of Surgery at the University of South Florida. From Koblenz, Robert Schwab, Professor of Surgery at the German Armed Forces Central Hospital. And from Rostock, Ernst Kern, Senior Professor of Surgery at the University Medical Center. My name is Henrike Ottonian, and I'm hosting the talk for Causa Medical, the official social media partner at the Congress of the German Society of Surgery. First question, Professor Klar, at the beginning, can you perhaps briefly explain what was the background to set up an international panel on penetrating injuries at this year's annual Congress of the German Society of Surgery?
It is a common topic for both societies, and it reflects the close cooperation between the German Society of Surgery and the American College of Surgeons. And this panel was organized by the ACS Germany chapter, being directed towards the question of penetrating trauma, which is a very currently urgent subject to discuss. In that respect, today's panel was a great success in my eyes.
Professor Armstrong, penetrating trauma results most often in acute bleeding that has to be controlled on site. The ACS has implemented a program called Stop the Bleed. What does it imply? Where is it effective? Where are the limitations?
What we've learned is that when somebody is bleeding to death from injury, you've got to stop the bleeding as soon as possible at point of injury. And who's there? Bystanders. Bystanders. So why don't we equip bystanders with the skills and the tools necessary to stop bleeding as quickly as possible? We learned these lessons in our wars in Southwest Asia over 20 years, and now we are applying these back in our countries. Life happens, and there are motor vehicle crashes, there are cuts, there are gunshot wounds, and the way to resolve the injury initially is to stop the bleeding as close to point of injury as possible.
Professor Schwab, are there similar activities in Germany? Can you describe them?
There are similar activities in Germany for surgeons. Well, because we have to start in the hospitals with the surgeons before we can roll it out over the country. In the last 15 years, a lot of different course formats popped up to stop the bleed under the head of the different surgical societies. Within the last year, we harmonized it, we concentrated it. We call this format ACT, means acute care and trauma. And this includes the course format of the American College of Surgeons called ACID, and also the European course format of definite surgical trauma care. So we are one step behind you, but thank you for your support.
Professor Armstrong, the session today addressed penetrating trauma of thorax and abdomen. In up to 50%, both compartments are affected simultaneously, but it seems that this thoracic injury is often limiting. Based on your experience in the US, what do you recommend as first steps to stabilize the patient for transportation in the civil setting?
So when there is penetrating injury to the torso, to the chest and abdomen, that can introduce some significant complexities. It's hard to stop bleeding in the field under those conditions. What we advocate is sticking to the basics of airway, breathing, using pressure to stop bleeding, if at all possible, and move the patient to a hospital as quickly as possible.
And do you think there is adequate experiences to control and treat these complex injuries also in the emergency room outside of primary care centers?
I believe that hospitals in general with qualified surgeons can stop bleeding in the chest and in the abdomen. And if additional skills are necessary, then those patients can be transferred to a hospital that has that higher level of skills. I'm very excited about what's happening in Germany with the training in stopping bleeding through an organized approach, surgical approach, using a variety of models, using models where the bleeding is very real, using models of human tissue, so that we equip surgeons across facilities with skills for these low-frequency, high-risk injuries to stop bleeding.
Professor Schwab, would you comment this from the German situation?
So infrastructure in Germany is not the problem. We have a lot of trauma centers, a lot of hospitals. They are well-equipped, over 950 trauma centers accredited in Germany. But not all surgeons all over Germany are trained and have the mindset. It is exactly like Professor Armstrong said. They can perform it, but they need to be trained to have the mindset. And this is the lack, and we have to close it.
Professor Klar, what do you think? Are we able to organize this on a broad scale in Germany?
I would say partially yes, but we have to differentiate different stages. So the first stage is life-saving, to control bleeding. Yes, this can be trained theoretically and in courses. If there are more resources, then damage control should ensue and be performed. And this is trained in courses. There are very efficient courses for damage control. This should be distributed as wide as possible in the surgical community. And regarding following stages for definitive treatment and restitution, this has to be confined to tertiary referral centers with specialized organ surgeons.
Professor Schwab, so far we have discussed the approach to penetrating trauma in an everyday situation. Could you, as the chief of medical officer at the Bundeswehr, explain how this differs from the military scenario?
So the surgical approach to severe penetrating trauma in military missions does not differ significantly. The main difference in military missions is available resources. There's not much backup regarding personnel, regarding blood, regarding materials. So every incident with more than two injured or casualties is a medical situation. And this is very different from incidents here in Europe, in Germany.
If we go to the USA, there you have been involved to greater extent. You have more experiences in military action and peacekeeping missions. So for you, as someone who has military experience background, could you describe the new treatment strategies for penetrating trauma that have been evolved in the military context in your country over the last years?
So up front, we've learned not to over-resuscitate somebody who has holes in big blood vessels. So we maintain a basic physiology as we work to stop that bleeding. So our next point is stopping that bleeding as quickly as possible, and that has meant movement of surgical teams closer to point of injury. I would add to that helping medics and wounded warriors know how to stop bleeding. That's the stop the bleed part that we talked a bit about earlier. Then we have gotten very good at temporizing significant injuries to blood vessels in the extremities with shunts. So when somebody has lost a lot of blood, they are at risk of total physiologic exhaustion. They don't have enough in them to continue a definitive repair. So instead of focusing on closing the hole in the blood vessel, we put a plastic tube in to bridge that gap. Then we allow the body to recover its physiology through blood resuscitation and intensive care. I think that's been a very important part of this as well. And another element is how we resuscitate with blood. We've previously resuscitated with components. We'd give some packed blood cells, we'd give some fresh frozen plasma, some platelets. Then we realized that we needed to actually give them in the right ratio to recreate whole blood. And now we've appreciated, why not give whole blood? Now that can introduce some logistics challenges, but the reality is we're figuring out how to overcome that. And when you lose whole blood, the best replacement is you full blood. So I think those are really the four key lessons that we have learned from our efforts to save lives in war.
So just at the end, last but not least, I would like to have a final statement from all of you. The terror attacks during the last years were an alarm call to reevaluate the surgical training concepts for penetrating trauma, I think, especially in Europe. The current war in the Ukraine has added an emergency signal to the European countries in the same regard. Do we have sufficient expertise to handle penetrating traumas, or have we already learned something from the experiences which Amar made in the Ukraine in the last year?
So from my military point of view, I can say the German military surgeons, we put together all experience we made in the last three decades on the Balkans, in Afghanistan, in Africa. And this was going back to a modern management of penetrating trauma, of war wounds, of special injury patterns. And since 10 years, we institutionalized it and we brought it back to the surgical societies and implemented some special military sections. And now we are bringing back this experience and we are mirroring back, in fact, the expertise to German surgeons for education and treatment. And this is why we are here today.
We're doing the best we can to translate what's happened in the war zone into civilian readiness for what are inevitably mass casualty situations. And we've stepped back to say, let's look at the chain of survival. So when somebody has a penetrating injury to a large blood vessel, what can we do to stop it as close to point of injury as possible? That's stop the bleed to get the entire community, lay people engaged in how to do it. Then what can we do to move that injured person to the right place? Maybe there's an intermediary, a place that can do damage control, can stop the bleeding as best as possible, and continue life-saving care in transit to a further facility. The last part to this is we are reflecting on how we manage blood. And we are really pushing this notion that separating blood into components probably isn't the best when somebody has lost whole blood. So our focus needs to be on how we adapt the blood supply to support whole blood. And to bring it full circle, a lot of work in how you bring whole blood as close to the point of injury as possible. So we're going to be relentless in preparing communities for mass penetrating events.
The exchange with our American fellow surgeons is of great interest to us because they have a vast experience in stab wounds and in gunshot wounds every day and night in the emergency room. And to give you some statistics, there's a 240-fold incidence of these injuries in America compared to Germany, and that's adapted for population. So that shows you that even in everyday life, there's much more experience you have. And that is a stimulus for us to watch your concepts and to get into discussion. We have a well-established trauma network with many institutions, certified institutions, and we have established and are expanding training courses. But in addition, I think it's of great importance that we keep the contact, that we expand the contact between our two societies in order to be open for new impressions, for new training strategies and knowledge. And this is my final statement, that I would be very glad if we could continue as we did today with common concepts of exchange and surgical friendship.
Thanks, everybody, for this very good and extremely informative conversation.